Now, there are many people in our world today who claim to trust in the Lord. If you were to ask them, "Do you trust in the Lord?" they say, "Oh, yes, I trust in the Lord." But I suggest to you that many of these people, while claiming to trust in the Lord, don't really trust in the Lord at all. They may say so. They may have the bumper stickers that says so. They may have the buttons or the pins or the shirts or the hats that say so. But really, in their heart of hearts, they do not trust in the Lord. Now, the Proverbs writer in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 said, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." I want to suggest to you this morning that there are some people claiming to trust in the Lord, but they don't follow Him in all their ways. Three things I want to write on our heart this morning. Number one, you don't really trust in the Lord unless you trust in His purposes. His purposes. When we go to the Word of God, we find that God had a purpose for the Christ. In Genesis 3:15, He prophesied that He would crush Satan's head and bruise the seed's heel. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, we're told that Jesus came into this world in flesh in order to save man from his sins. In John 1:29, John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Galatians 4:3-4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. And the purpose for God sending Christ into the world was to save man from his sin. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so that is His purpose for Christ. We must trust in that purpose. And we must trust His purpose not only for the Christ, but His purpose for the church. Now, Christ saves those in the church. In Ephesians 5:23, we find that Christ is the Savior of the body. In Ephesians 1:22-23, we find that the body is the church. So Christ is the Savior of the church. In other words, if I want to be saved, I need to make sure that I am part of that body that Christ saves, the church. I must be part of the church to be saved. There are those in the world today who claim to be 24/7 Christians. Now, I believe we ought to be Christians 24/7, but what they mean by this is that I don't really need to be part of any church. I don't need to go to church. I just have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I just don't need any church. Others will say, "Well, we ought to just preach Christ and not the church." Let me suggest to you, my friends, that you cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ outside the church. And if you go to the gospel of Christ, the New Testament, you're going to find that it is impossible to just preach Christ and not the church. You see, Christ is the head of the church. If you sever the head from the body, what happens? Death. How did Christ feel about the church? Well, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Bible tells us that He shed His blood for the church. Now, Christ thinks pretty highly of the church, doesn't He? He shed His blood for the church. He made the ultimate sacrifice for the church. Now, what kind of sacrifices am I making for the church? Well, you know, on Sunday morning, I'd much rather go out and play golf or go fishing or hang out with my buddies or just sleep in, maybe. But maybe I should be willing to sacrifice those things for the church, so that I might go down and worship with the church. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10 that it is the eternal purpose of God that the church make known the manifold wisdom of God. The church is to sound forth the gospel of Christ. The church is to spread the word, to plant the seed, so that those who are lost in the world might hear that word and come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing that they may obey His commands and finally be saved. You don't really trust in the Lord unless you trust in His purposes. Number two, not only must you trust in His purposes, but you must trust in His precepts. Now, what is a precept? Well, a precept is either a direct command or it is a direct statement. If you ask many, they'll say, "Oh yes, I trust in the Lord." But listen, if you really trust in Him, this trust will be reflected in believing and doing what He says. There are people who say, "I trust the Lord Jesus," but then when the Lord they read something the Lord Jesus said in his gospel, why, they want to deny that completely. Jesus said in John 14, 21, it is he who has my commandments and keeps them. It is he who loves me. Those who have his commandments and keep them. In 1 John 5, 3, the Bible says, for this is the love of God that we keep his commandments. Take baptism, for example. Is baptism very popular in religion today? Not very. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus said very clearly, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. And ever since the Lord Jesus made that statement, and ever since it was recorded, there have been men out there claiming to trust in the Lord who want to deny this statement emphatically. They tried, many of them, to eliminate it from the scripture, saying that there's no textual support for the verse to even be found in the Bible. Well, they lost that battle because there is plenty of textual support. And so what do? They started twisting the words and turning the words in such a way that they no longer meant what they said anymore. The statement is very clear. It's really very easy to understand. The difficulty comes in accepting it. There are many people who do not want to accept it. Folks said, well, if I accept that statement, I condemn my grandmother, who was a godly woman, but she was never baptized. Listen, whatever you do neither condemns nor saves your grandmother. She'll be saved or condemned based upon what she believed and how she lived her life. You need to be concerned about what the Lord Jesus said. And he said, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts 22, 16, Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, can you be saved before your sins are gone? Absolutely not. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, sin separates us from God. We must remove that which separates. We must remove sin. And that passage tells us, Acts 22, 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And so we must be baptized before the precious blood of Jesus connects with our sins and washes them away. Baptism is essential to salvation. That's why Peter said, just straight out, in 1 Peter 3:21, there's an antitype which now saves us, baptism. There are so many who manifest more trust in their preacher or some scholar or some creed book or some catechism which directly opposes Mark 16, 16, Acts 22, 16, Acts 2, 38, and the list goes on. They'd rather put more trust in those people and put more trust in what their grandparents believed than they would in what the Lord specifically said, and at the same time claiming, oh yes, I trust the Lord. There are many who trust their own feelings or conscience more than they do the Lord. In Acts 26, 9, the Apostle Paul said that I thought I must do many things contrary to Jesus of Nazareth, and went on to talk about how he tried to waste the church, how he tried to destroy the church, how he tried to wipe the church off the map. And when he was doing all those things, he thought he was serving God. Listen, you can think that you're doing right. You can feel like you've met God's needs. You can feel like you're saved. Your conscience feeling perfectly fine about that. And yet you still be lost. Paul said in Acts 23 verse 1, men and brethren, I have lived in before God in all good conscience until this day. What about when you was killing Christians, Paul? How was your conscience? Well, he'd say it was fine. I thought I was serving the Lord. And today there are many people who have put their trust in what some preacher or some scholar says that contradicts what the Lord says, and their conscience is just fine. And yet they stand condemned before the Lord that they claim to trust. Jesus said, he laid down the precept, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe it? Do you trust in the Lord and trust in what he said? Listen, you don't really trust in the Lord unless you trust in his purposes. You don't really trust in the Lord unless you trust in his precepts. And you don't really trust in the Lord unless you trust in his promises. Now listen, God has made many wonderful promises throughout his holy word. He has promised that he will provide for us, his children, the things that we need in life. And yet many of us jump on the anxiety train. Oh, we worry to death about what we're going to eat next week or what we're going to eat next month or how we're going to pay the bills next year. We just worry to death about that, aren't we? We give ourselves ulcers. We give ourselves stress attacks. We give ourselves heart attacks. Why? Because we are so anxious about the needs of this world and what miserable lives we lead because of it. The Lord Jesus told us not to worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will put on, Matthew 6:25. Don't worry about these things. Don't be filled with anxiety. Here's what he did say in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Listen, you just trust in the Lord. You just follow him. You just do whatever he says in a loving way. Draw closer to him, and he will provide for your needs. He provides for us spiritually too. Oh, how he provides for us spiritually. Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1 that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Indeed, God has given us his direction in his holy word, the Bible, to read and to study and to take comfort from. God has given us our brothers and sisters in Christ to lean on and to help and to receive help when we need help from them. God has blessed us with the great avenue of prayer that we can go to him in prayer and we can talk to him and we can receive forgiveness and we can pray for others and we can have peace in our hearts. What wonderful blessings we have in Christ. As a matter of fact, Paul broke out and praised to God over God's blessings in Ephesians 1:3 when he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Oh, how God has blessed us. And I suggest to you that possibly the greatest of all these blessings is the promise of eternal life. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul spoke of the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Now listen, a man may make a promise to you and break that promise because he's a dishonest man. That doesn't happen with God. There's no dishonesty with God. God is fully holy and fully righteous, and God cannot lie. Or a man may make a promise to you, and then because of unforeseen circumstances, he can't fulfill that promise. Maybe he was involved in a car accident, or maybe he had some other very tragic thing happened in his life to where he just couldn't be where he said he was going to be at the time he said he was going to be there to do what he said he would do. He didn't do that through dishonesty. He just wasn't able to do that. This also does not apply to God. For with God, nothing is impossible. With God, who knows all, there are no unforeseen circumstances. When God makes a promise, you can be certain that that promise will be fulfilled to the very fullest. And God has promised us, those who are faithful children of God, eternal life. The Lord said in Revelation 2 and verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And this promise, by the way, is only for those who obey the gospel. In Hebrews 5:8-9, speaking of Jesus, it says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Have you obeyed the Lord? Listen, if you really trust in the Lord, if you really trust in his promises, if you really trust in all the things that he has said, you will obey the gospel, because Hebrews 5:8-9 says you must to have salvation. In Matthew 7:21, the Lord plainly said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." We must do God's will. We must obey. If we want to finally have eternal life in the afterlife. So do you trust in the Lord? If you really trust in the Lord, then you will trust in his purposes. You will trust in his precepts and the commandments and the direct statements that he has given. And you will trust in his promises. Do you really trust in the Lord? Hello, dear friends. My name is Michael Pickford, and this message is brought to you by the Southside Church of Christ in Smyrna, Tennessee. A new message airs each Sunday morning right here on WGNS from 10:45 to 11 a.m. You can listen to hundreds of my sermons at our website, defendthegospel.com. That's www.defendthegospel.com. We'd like to invite you to worship with us at any or all of our services. You'd be our honored guest. We meet on Sundays at 9 and 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. as well as Wednesdays at 7 p.m. We meet at 1167 South Lowry Street, that's Murfreesboro Road in Smyrna, Tennessee. Thank you for listening and have a wonderful day.